back. You're watching Stockwatch, and joining me in studio this evening are Mia Kruger from Kruger International Asset and Wealth Management and Nessa Naya from Sasfin Securities. And if you'd like to send us questions, please do. You can SMS a stock in the question to 41392. You can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Mia, Nessa, nice to see you both this evening.
Thank you.
First appearance, well, between the three of us for 2018. Mia, if I may start with you, today was a really strong day. Banks and retailers having yet another corker session, and you get the, you can really sort of sense the animal spirits in the air. Do you think it's all a little bit late for those of us who haven't caught this boat?
Well, I'm quite wary just to jump into the market, so I'd be very sort of sure of what I buy if I do buy a specific stock. And yes, I think, you know, you should be wary of the talk coming out of a lot of financial institutions that do a hell of a lot of research on where the market is at, where valuations are at. And it's a very different story when you consider sort of the local shares on our bourse compared to the sort of multinationals that that's been listed here. And I mean, when you look at December, for instance, December was actually a story of all the local shares pulling back and just the multinationals having a good time. And banks. I mean, banks were actually one of the sectors that were very strongly bought by foreign investors. So yes, I think today, sort of just carrying on this trend, we've seen strong markets in the US. We saw a very strong year last year, and sort of everything's just going on that. Dollar weakness is definitely helping.
Yeah. But you're circumspect. Nathan, are you circumspect, or do you think maybe we're just being too cautious, or we've been too cautious for too long?
You know, if you put things in context, in the last sort of 3 years or so, when the economy was going sideways, you know, banks were a hell of a unloved, so were retailers. And dividend yields have kind of picked up. And I think coming into this year, a lot of people expecting, you know, with the positive economic, political news, a bit of an impulse coming from the consumer, maybe we'll push significantly above the 1% economic growth this year, driven by the consumer. And, you know, you're going to want to be in retailers and banks if that's the case. And I think foreigners, I mean, just haven't been in the sector for so long. I think they're just playing a bit of catch up now.
I mean, if you haven't been, so if you haven't got onto this retail rally, I mean, for example, Fashini's shares were up almost 21% in December alone.
Yeah.
So they had an amazing December. Is it too late? Do you think you're just going to be picking up scraps in the banks and the retailers and some of the other SA Inc. stocks?
Well, I don't think all the retailers are equally expensive. So I think you need to sort of just make sure what you're buying if you look at the prices. But we saw very strong reviews coming out of, operational reviews coming out of those companies at the end of last year, especially, or in the beginning of this year, saying that they had a very, very strong November with Black Friday. Mm-hmm. So everyone's figures were up quite strongly up until the end of November, and that's the same thing that we saw when we looked at the inflation numbers coming through. Quite strong growth coming from the consumer up until then, which could actually then lead us now to December being slightly weaker than expected due to the fact that everyone sort of picked up all the bargains. And if you listen to what the retailers are saying, a couple of them are saying that. But from the buying side, it's definitely a case where foreigners haven't invested in our retailers and have actually, over the past 3 years, sold down their stake in our retailers quite substantially. And now sort of we've been seeing strong buying coming from foreign investors in those sectors.
Just a question on Lewis today. They came out with a trading update, which was decent. Their comparable store sales were really high, which was very interesting. I mean, the shares were up 17%. 17.7% is where they closed today. Were people short Lewis? And then I know it's not, maybe it's not necessarily a widely held stock, but that was an incredible move today, and I kind of wonder if it's totally justified.
Listen, you know, very likely. Remember, it's basically a credit retailer. And, you know, if you look at the share price history in the last sort of 3-4 years, you've got to put that in context. You know, it's probably endured quite a lot of pain over that time.
Playing, I mean, it doesn't even make back sort of the last six months, really.
So. And still, and you'll find that, you know, because of the cash retailers, like Mr. Price, for example, has done very well. Good sales update as well. But, you know, the credit retailers, I think people are going to wait and see, because we're still relatively high in terms of interest rates. We still have a lot of the NCR regulations coming through, you know, which have been contested, but still they are there. And the consumer, the credit consumer, is not as strong yet, I don't think.
I mean, is that not in the base for credit retailers? So all the NCR, the effect that the crackdown, that it had on their businesses, is that now... kind of that takes, base has been set?
I think it takes a few years to get into the base, you know. Remember, there's a lag in the economy as well. Until you see a consumer-led growth, 2.5-3% at least, then you know that the consumer is beginning to recover. I don't think I think we'll get there, and you know, if this positive news continues to flow in 6 months' time, you know, a lot of these credit retailers might actually fully recover. Mm. But I'd be cautious about getting in right now.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, especially when you look at the credit side of the businesses and credit retailers as such, you have to consider the economy and where the consumer is. And if the consumer isn't in a position to increase their credit, they're going to spend the money they have at the end of the month more in cash retailers and in cash positions than they're going to increase their credit much. Yeah. And I think that's sort of going to be driven firstly by the economy and sort of us seeing sustainable growth coming through to the economy. The euphoria that we're currently seeing around, you know, the election of Ramaphosa as the new president of the CNA, the ANC.
Feels like a bit of a CNA.
I know. I'm talking so much retail here. So, you know, that definitely led to some sort of euphoria that we're still seeing in the market. And I think it's actually flown over to, and Davos will help with that, but flown over to foreign markets as well.
Yeah.
But the big problem is that we'll have to see the economic growth come through for people to really be satisfied with the euphoric buying now. And if it's not going to happen, it might as well just pull back again as fast as it came in.
Hmm. Well, there's a question saying, with anticipated better GDP this year and in 2019, does the panel feel that construction and logistics will recover strongly?
I think it's too early for construction.
You know, how long have we been saying this for?
You know,
seventh year, maybe?
If you look at the drivers of the improved growth this year, I mean, it has to be led by the consumer. And, you know, once you get sort of a sustainable consumption-led growth, and then it's going to take its toll on fixed capital formation, and then possibly construction starts coming in as a bit of a later cycle play. You know, at the moment, you know, Eskom really doesn't have much funds to build any more power stations, and they've got free capacity. So, you know, I wouldn't be getting into construction. I think the retailers are probably a bit of a safer bet for the time being.
Mm. I agree.
And what about logistics? Because if there's maybe a bit more consumer-led activity and a bit more trade, and you would expect to see the logistics sector pick up?
No, I mean, logistics in general would be a sector that I think sort of with any economic growth story would benefit, because, I mean, with online trading, with whatever the case is, whether it's moving around of goods into stores, logistics is always a story. But I don't think that we've got that strong growth yet to really sustain that. I'd be more wary of sort of going into these sectors. I think stick to the retailers rather, somewhere where you know you can see what's coming through immediately and you can benefit immediately from any spending coming through, than betting on sort of longer term themes.
And Imperial's already had a fantastic run.
Exactly.
Did you think there was a bit of anticipation that things?
I think so. It was also one of those that, you know, was depressed for quite long and, you know, going sideways for a long time. But in the last 6 months, you know, obviously somebody's taken a view, and you know, a lot of the easy money has been made. Yeah. So you're going to have to just be careful. Look for entry points.
Yeah, and I think, you know, also it's important to realize what they've also diversified their business into the foreign market and put up plants and places there. So it is a business that has evolved and that the price sort of caught up to lately. But I don't think, you know, I'd rush into any of that due to the fact that logistics in South Africa is going to boom.
Mm. Okay, well then, I mean, this is all sort of linked, I suppose, to the South African consumer. Could you kindly ask your panel about the merits of an investment in combined motor holdings? So
another high encyclical play, but you know, I think the strong rand helps their business a lot because it's a low margin business, big input costs, and you're beginning to see a bit of a flattening and maybe an upturn in vehicle sales now. You know, it will spill over in a positive consumer environment. It'll spill over to better new vehicle sales. They're certainly positioned, you know, for much better earnings going forward. But there's a lot of players in that space, and I think the South African consumer, I mean, is spoiled for choice when it comes to cars. So you need to be a bit careful.
Mm. Okay, Mia, any
Nothing
thoughts on CMH?
No.
Okay, I'm not sure where the charts are, because CMH has been incredibly resilient, I have to say. Right, well, we'll move on from that. There's a question, talking about resilience, a lovely segue to maybe a set of companies that haven't been such beneficiaries of market largesse in the last week. After the recent volatility, what's the view on the share now? Yeah, any...
Well, once again, you know, you need to sort of look at the sector as a whole. The sector has come down, and many of the different companies of the property companies pulled back. But, you know, it's not looking exceptionally cheap against the historical historical benchmarks. It had a very strong drive due to all the foreign diversification that these companies did, and the mergers and acquisitions in the sector and such. So, yes, you know, I think if you there are some better areas in the market that you probably would be able to go into. Once again, in the credit environment that we're at, when we look at sentiment, when we look at the supply locally, there are just a couple of themes that's sort of not pushing me towards property stocks at this stage.
Yeah. I mean, would you actively be selling resilient, shorting resilient, which is of course the talk of the last couple of
years? I think there's a few factors that, that have impacted resilient. Remember last year it did about 25%, okay, which is, you know, not a bad performance in 1 year, but the result is that the yield is now below 5%, okay, and it's probably the most expensive of the property stocks. So I think the one theme we're seeing this year is people are moving away from the momentum type stocks into the value stocks, like the retailers and the banks, which we mentioned earlier on. Whether that persists, you know, in the next 6 months or next year, we'll have to just wait and see. But there certainly seems to be a trend towards the SA Inc. Sort of businesses. The other problem that resilience faced is that, you know, because it embarked on this sort of debt-driven offshore expansion, you know, people are putting it in the same sort of boat as the likes of a Steinhoff, and you know, Aspen's got the similar problem. So I think a lot of people who have made good money on resilient are saying it might be worthwhile just taking some off the table right now. It's come from 144 to the mid-120s. I still think, you know, it's still in the property sector. You know, it's still one of the ones that I would buy for growth if I was looking for growth rather than yield. So you know, I don't mind holding it in a long-term portfolio.
Okay, so you're not nervous.
You know, with Steinhoff, I think everybody's nervous. You know, we're looking for the next Steinhoff in every single company out there. But we also have to, you know, understand that in Steinhoff's case, I mean, this was a case of sort of manifest fraud. And if you believe that that's, if that exists throughout the whole stock market, then you might as well not be invested. So I think, you know, just apply a little bit of common sense and take a view.
Okay. And before the break, if we speak of common sense investments, I asked Mia and Jean-Pierre at the end of last year if they felt bitter that they hadn't bought any bitcoins. And the question is, crypto, go or no go? Should I just, so this person owns Bitcoin and Ethereum, should I just hang on to these for the year or cut my losses and sell?
Well, it's just a speculative bet at this stage, so I can't see it having any sort of base or grounds for value, and nothing driving the value in those things anyway. And I mean, when you look at what the movement looked like in December, you sort of got a feel for it, and I mean, even into January. The problem is that people don't, I think there's a lot of laws in South Africa that people sort of just disregard in terms of cryptocurrencies, because when you look at South African law in terms of foreign currency, and foreign currency constitutes a payment, a middle for payment in foreign countries, you're not allowed to just hold it without declaring it to the Reserve Bank. And I mean, I don't think that any person in South Africa who owns a cryptocurrency has actually even thought of that.
And no, maybe that's the point.
You know, so there's a lot of things that bothers me about this. So I don't also understand that people who think blockchain is interesting or a great opportunity going forward as a ledger or as a transactional method, you know, want to buy Bitcoin to get to blockchain. That makes no sense. So I'd just steer away. Take your profits.
Or cut your losses.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us or email us or tweet us, and we'll be back after the break. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to international stock markets as Davos and all the big wigs of international markets gather this evening. S&P up just under a fifth of a percent, the Nasdaq up 0.6%, and the Dow Jones ever so slightly weaker, down about a tenth of a percent. Across the Atlantic, you had the FTSE 100 gaining also about a fifth of a percent today. The CAC pulling back slightly. The DAX, however, had a pretty strong session, and we, as did we, all the resources shares are falling in a bit of a heap and not helped by the stronger rand. Still with me in studio, Amir Kruger and Nissen Nair. A question on Sasol, saying, I currently hold Sasol BE1 shares, which will convert to Sasol shares in June on a one-to-one ratio. Sasol have offered me an option to redesignate these as Canisa shares, which will mean I get bonus shares and get locked in for a further period. What's the panel's view on Canisa? Should I just take normal Sasol shares in light of the trading update that came out today?
Yeah.
What would you do with either?
Listen, I think, you know, with the Canisa option, remember that's a fully funded option by Sasol. So you get the upside in the Sasol share, after Sasol provides for the funding costs associated with that. Now, this Sasol BE1 shares were part of the BE transaction they did about 10 years ago. Where
you didn't make money essentially.
Well, no, if you bought Sasol BE1 shares, I think you paid 366 rand a share.
Okay.
You got the full dividend, and you'll probably exit at around 440 rand. So, you made some money. Sasol normally pays a good dividend, so you know it wouldn't have been a bad idea. But what Sasol wants to do now is, if you choose, rather than have your shares, your BE shares converted to ordinary Sasol shares, and in doing so, Sasol would lose the BE ownership. They're incentivizing existing holders to take on the to hold their Sasol BE1 shares and take up Canisa.
Yeah.
In which case, they will give you, for every 100 Sasol BE1 shares, they'll give you another 35. So it's quite, from a shareholder's perspective, it's quite an attractive deal, that you'll get 35 Sasol BE1 shares in for every 100 Sasol BE1s you own. Plus, you'll get participation in Canisa. So hugely dilutive for all Sasol shareholders or other Sasol shareholders. But you know, if your view is that Sasol's going to continue to provide good dividends and through the cycle, I think it's a reasonable investment.
You would rather take Canisa, okay? Mia, on the basis, what did you think of that trading update that came out today? And how would you rate Sasol's prospects, especially with Lake Charles, expensive project, although that do seem now to be within their higher budget.
Yeah. Well, look, I think 5 years ago, the prospects for Sasol looked much better than it does today. A lot of things have changed in the market. We have seen some oils strength the last while, which has definitely helped, and that makes these prospects a little bit more profitable going forward, and that's why they're considering to keep going with many of the offers. But I don't think the story is as strong for me anymore as it was 5 years ago. So that's basically my summary of it. I probably wouldn't be climbing into Sasol at this stage. If I was holding it, I probably wouldn't just sell it just yet, because I think there could be if in a diversified portfolio space for it, and there could be sort of something good coming from it and more strength in the oil price. But yeah, no, I'm not really excited, I'd say.
Would you be excited by any international oil company, especially with the oil price moving up to $70? Because you have a choice now. We don't have to buy Sasol.
Yeah.
And Sasol, I suppose, is in a way more of a chemicals company. You could buy Chevron,
yes,
or you could buy BP or Exxon.
Royal Dutch Shell seems to be the one that screams the best, because it's hugely cash flow generative. And, they at these sort of oil prices, they're paying quite high dividends as well. So I think a lot of the guys that are interested in the oil play are looking at that. I mean, you could go into a Gazprom. The Russian oil producers, but there you're going in for a sustainably higher oil price.
also, if you were worried about Steinhoff, maybe Gazprom is also
talking about risks.
Reevaluate your risk portfolio. Yeah.
It depends on how much risk you want to take.
I
what your views on the oil price.
If you buy Bitcoin,
price.
You might as well consider sort of dabbling there.
Well, that's a low blow comparing Gazprom to Bitcoin. Okay, we're talking. I mentioned the metals, the resources index came off today. And the question is, my 85-year-old mother has shares which have been placed into Kumba, ArcelorMittal and Exxaro. We've only recently become aware of this, and this is her only investment.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, hoping to have her around for a lot longer. What should we be recommending to her? We know nothing about the stock market.
Okay, well, firstly, I think if it's her only investment and it only came to light now, then they didn't bargain on it up until now. Let's just put that probably into perspective. But I wouldn't be holding a portfolio of only commodity stocks, and I'd use market strength to maybe get out of some of it and diversify away from it, even all of it. Mm.
She probably had shares in ISCO.
Yeah.
Which is
and, which then, and that's been years ago.
Exactly. So that's maybe
she's got these shares for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, exactly.
But people sometimes do forget that they owned it, or they actually inherited it, and they only found out about it later by some sort of way. We come across that every now and again with people. So it could be that she wasn't aware of it, but it is definitely a very, very old transaction. That
okay. I think if as the viewer says, if she's going to be around for much longer now, you'll probably want to diversify a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you've had them since ISCO days, which is mid-90s, late-90s?
But it really doesn't matter.
2000 or thereabouts, yeah.
Dividends have paid for the cost of the shares.
Yeah, and I think also it's important to actually think, if she's 85 years old and this is her only investment, maybe equities in that, depending on how dependent she's going to be on that money, it's probably not the only option she should consider. Maybe sell all of that and invest it in something that has a bit more of a diversified asset base.
Yeah, okay. Is Bidvest a good buy at the moment? So we're talking about SA Inc stocks, retailers, the banks. Bidvest is what, trading, where did it close today? 215.73 rand. It's kind of been...
it's been quite strong.
It's actually also taken me a bit by surprise, I have to say.
I think it's one that you're going to have. It's a core stock in a portfolio right now. It's still very well run. It's got potential to grow because there's still plenty of space on the balance sheet to do acquisitions. It's a proven management team. I think with a strong rand, I think a lot of foreigners look at businesses like this. That are going to hold their investment and obviously give them the growth that they need. So I still like it, even though it has had a very good run. I have to admit that I wouldn't climb in all at once. But I think if you're building a long term portfolio, it's the sort of thing you're going to need to have.
Mm, okay, Star is doing so well. So why no conversation about the stock? Sorry.
Well, I think the links putting us off. But I think it's important for people to just realize that, there's still a lot of water that needs to flow into the sea for Starnov, and that Star has been doing business on a lot of contracts and negotiations that has been set up by Steinhoff. So they're piggybacking on a lot of the deals that Steinhoff has done over the years, and they're getting the scale benefit of that, they're getting the margin benefit of that, and all of those sort of things. So it's important to note that, because some of those deals could be renegotiated or scrapped, and that could have an impact on Star in different of their businesses, underlying businesses. They mostly have a strong portfolio of businesses, but these businesses, as I say, have been built on a lot of deals that now has become sort of the focus of various reasons. Mm. So yes, I mean, I'd still be wary just to touch anything in that stable at this stage.
Okay. Getting to stock picks, and there was a question which we can sort of tie into, because you'll give us two stock picks then, Nesson. What overseas equity would be worth investing in? They all look so overvalued.
Listen, I think the US is probably still going to, certainly for the next 12 months, 18 months, we're still going to see, economic growth in the US. You see now with the tax cuts, you're beginning to see, wage increases coming through. Walmart's increasing the minimum wage from $10 to $11. That's a 10% increase in disposable income. And I think you're going to see still this consumer, US consumer, continue to do well throughout this year. And I'd want to be focused on some of the big sort of the US Inc. stocks, like a Berkshire Hathaway, for example, Home Depot, even Amazon. The consumer-led stocks, I think, are still going to do well this year.
And your local pick is PSG. You've got
I think,
10 seconds to talk about it.
I think with PSG and the overhang from Steinhoff now is out of the way. Steinhoff's just invested. Free float is a lot better now in PSG, and still a very well-run business. So I think it recovers.
Okay. And Mia, mystery stock pick this evening.
Yes, so I think, I'm sort of more wary about where we're seeing these shares trade. I think there is still in the US especially a lot of room for growth when you look at the strong US Inc. companies, especially the companies that has this tax break that's going to bring a lot of capital back into the US. It's going to really help the US economy, and it will also help those companies. I'm just thinking about Apple and the big amounts of money they're going to repatriate back to the US. Mm. So Apple, I mean, these stocks are all great, great companies. I just think you need to be wary that when you get into the market sort of in the last 12 months of anything, you just need to be aware that you're a long-term buyer of shares. Whatever you buy, buy quality. Stick to the, I mean, you can stick to the big household names, Apple, Google, Amazon, we just Berkshire, definitely, Nike, all of those. But just be aware that, I mean, anything sort of when the market gets hot like it is at the moment, things can go south, and then if you're in it for the long run, no problem at all, because then you're not worried about what the market does over the short run.
But don't try to make a quick buck.
Yeah, just be wary.
All right. Mia and Nesson, thanks very much for joining us this evening. That's all we have time for this evening. If we didn't get to your question, Stephen will tomorrow. And Mia Kruger is from Kruger International. Nesson Nair is from Sassman Securities. And as I said, Stockwatch will be back tomorrow at 7:30.